My Take at thetakeaway.org. We've also got eviction as a theme in the program, whether we're talking about bases in Kyrgyzstan or what Sheriff Jones said to us a moment ago. If your income is gone, you're in foreclosure, the bank has told you to get out, what happens then?
We're not going to give somebody the death penalty for not paying their rent, not paying their bills. Here in Ohio, it's wintertime, it's zero. It's the essence of giving somebody the death penalty for not paying their bills.
Well, Sheriff Jones is showing leeway there, but evictions are still taking place around the country. And a group of activists in Baltimore are using nonviolence resistance tactics as a way of keeping people in their homes. They're led by the national community organizing group ACORN, who, of course, made headlines when they were answering to allegations of voter registration fraud last year. But this grassroots organization has a tactic that may or may not work in communities across America. Assessing whether that is the case is Melody Simmons. She joins us. She's a reporter for the Mark Steiner Show at the Center for Emerging Media at WEAA in Baltimore. Melody has been following this story. And Melody, first of all, what does the nonviolent tactic actually do if someone is facing eviction?
Well, they had training on Monday night, and the tactic is aimed at keeping the homeowner in the home.
And how does that work? I mean, you know, if sheriffs are coming to the door or, you know, vacant homes have been padlocked, what do you actually do?
You can chain yourself to the radiator. You can form a human chain. There are a lot of other supporters in ACORN that are mobilizing here in the city to do rapid response. They call the program Home Defenders. So there was a training Monday they had. It was a teacher there talking to homeowners, telling them how to best stay in their house.
And this is what those tactics actually sound like. You recorded this
yes.
Recently. Melody, let's listen.
This is our house now.
That voice that you hear as they break open the door or open the door and enter a residence in Baltimore is the home now of Donna Hanks, a homeowner foreclosed upon in Baltimore, who joins us. She's a caterer. She's had some income problems, had an adjustable rate mortgage, refinanced. It spun out of control. And Donna, you actually participated in this take my house back tactic. You're not living in the home, as I understand it. But what was it like to take your house back?
It was very upsetting for what I had went through, for asking different communities to help me with readjusting my payments. Because in the catering business, it's seasonal, and my couple months that I had no work dropped my income down where I couldn't keep up with the payments that the mortgage company wanted.
And Donna, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable calling it your home because as far as the bank is concerned and maybe the law is concerned, it's not your home at all. How do you resolve that?
Right now, I just have to accept it the way it is because this is what the bank wanted me to do, be sent out of my home on September 2008.
Well, what did you do for those months?
After that, I was in four rental properties, which had a lot of issues to them. The rent was equal to the mortgage payment that I was paying. Utilities were additional to that rent. And I still have issues for some insulation, heating problems, plumbing problems that was not corrected by the landlord that I am with right now.
And it's not as though the bank was able to sell your old house in the time that you were looking for rental properties, right? What condition was it in when you found it?
It was all the house was stripped. Everything was gone. Okay, there's still a lot of work to be done into the house. Even if I went into it, there was still a whole lot of work needed, whether it be a roof problem, electric problem, you know, plumbing, walls were are not up to par. It's not up to the city code.
So as you go back into this home and attempt to get it to be livable, do you feel like you're in a stockade right now and that at any time they could come and drag you out of there? Or can it possibly feel like home under these circumstances?
I still would feel like I'm in a stockade, that the bank would still come in and pull me out of my own home.
Melody Simmons, as a reporter, you know, give me an assessment of what Acorn thinks about all the vacant properties in urban areas like Baltimore and other communities around the country. Does Acorn believe this is a housing resource, these vacant, unsellable properties, at a time when certainly people are going to be more and more in a condition of homelessness?
Yes, they're taking it a tactic right out of the 1980s, where there was some squatting rights movement that stepped up in some of the larger urban areas. And so they view the vacant houses as basically, you know, that places where these people should move back in, the people who are evicted, take your home back, don't say no. So there's militant attitude. There's also civil disobedience. We're seeing a little bit of the 1960s come back to homeowners.
Donna, you know, I've covered some very scary communities in the Baltimore area there, and I'm wondering if a sense of defying the authorities encourages a feeling of lawlessness that may, you know, encourage people to make these communities where you're going to try to live as a squatter, you know, less secure, maybe more frightening.
That would be a matter of a neighbor-to-neighbor issue. Say if I'm trying to get back into my home, the neighbors would say, why are you there? The bank took it. And I tried to make an explanation to them that I am willing to make my payments to the taxes, the mortgage. But I still think that they're going to favor, the neighbors would favor the bank as opposed to me.
Well, it's something that you're going to have to deal with, and the community is going to be dealing with all across the country. Melody Simmons, before we go, how many people were at that Acorn training that you attended, and how widespread are these tactics, do you think?
There were close to 50 at the training, and I think the tactics are taken hold like a prairie fire. I will say that yesterday, in the take back of Donna's house, there was a woman standing in the corner with tears streaming down her face. I went over to speak with her and asked her what her story was. She had just staved off her foreclosure, and she was there to support Donna.
Wow.
And she basically told a very compelling story about her personal struggle.
There's so much on the line here. Melody Simmons, thanks for joining us. Donna Hanks, good luck to you. Melody Simmons from the Center for Emerging Media at WEAA. Donna Hanks, foreclosed and squatting in Baltimore.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.